So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So welcome to the Property Cashflow Show. Today is a Wednesday. And in today's session, I want to talk to you about property sourcing and about how you can actually get a head start from everybody else. We're actually outside. It's nice and sunny. The house inside is colder than it is on the outside. I've actually got the heating on inside. I come outside and it's sunny and it's nice and warm. I still got my hoodie on though. It's a little bit warmer than it is in the UK right now anyway, which is nice. So property sourcing, let's talk about that. Obviously, we're in the last week of November and it kind of feels a bit December-ish to me anyway. Like, where has this year gone? We've done some amazing stuff this year. I can't deny that. But the time has just flown, hasn't it? March took like 6 months, so it seemed. But here we are, end of November. And in this session, I want to talk to you about what can you do today that's going to either make December feel a little bit better, like you've done some work. And also, more importantly, what's 2021 going to be like for you? And how can you get a head start on everybody else? And so one of the big changes that I make and I continually have to make in my life, and I find it very difficult to do because I'm pre-programmed not to do it, is to plan and to allocate tasks and jobs and stuff to other people to get them to do it. And actually, I do find myself these days when someone says, Dan, can you do this? My first point is, can I get somebody else to do that so I don't have to do that? What is the framework that's needed for me to get somebody else to do that? So, for example, right now, we've got a digital marketing agency that generates leads for clients. Brilliant. And our other businesses that we're acquiring generates leads for them as well. But the bit where a lead is generated and it actually gets quoted for, that's the bit that I want to next plug in. And that's something we're going to do. We're going to start creating a sales team, a follow-up team, that kind of thing. But in order to create something like that, which is a little bit complicated, you need to have some kind of framework that's outlined, that's in a diagrammatic form, that you can easily look at and go, okay, what's the next bit that I need to fix? And it's exactly the same in your property sourcing journey as well. So for example, if you've not got leads coming into your business right now for property sourcing, so this is basically people who need to sell their properties quickly, they've got a property problem, they've got a money problem, they're going through a divorce, there's been a death in the family, there are all sorts of different reasons for moving to Europe and never coming back to the UK, that's me. but like, if you've not got those leads coming into your business, that's one of the first fundamental bits that you need to sort as a property sourcer, okay? And we go through this on a daily basis. Sometimes leads are coming in and other times leads are not coming in. So we're continually tweaking the framework around lead generation. And that's just one particular angle or one particular aspect in property sourcing that you need to figure out. And if you've not got that, you need to spend some time and figure that bit out. So, for example, one of the easiest, most obvious things that you could do is leaflet drops. And saying, go and do leaflet drops is really easy. Go do leaflet drops. Actually doing the leaflet drops and organizing the leaflet drops, that's a really complicated piece of engineering to get that up and out, especially if you're not going to be the one who's dropping the leaflet. So let's give you that framework now and let's do it together so we can actually work it out. So what do we need if we were going to drop some leaflets? What do you think we need for leaflets? We need the leaflet, right? If you can't drop a leaflet unless you've got leaflets. So part of the framework is you need to get some leaflets, obviously, right? Now, leaflets. Before we even get leaflets, though, what's the other thing that we need to get? Well, we need someone to design the leaflets. And so when you're writing down a framework, you need to be asking yourselves, these are really obvious questions. So we need designing. For me, these are really obvious questions, but people are like, no, I need leaflets. And that's it. They get stuck because they don't know what the next steps are to getting leaflets. So number one, you've got to find a designer. You go to Fiverr or you go find somebody on Facebook or you ask in a Facebook group who does your leaflets. And actually for leaflet design, there are specific property sourcing leaflets, companies that design them. Don't ask me what they are. Go and find them. Do a quick Google search. But they design leaflets for estate agents and property sourcers. Get one of their designs. One of the great designs I saw was, you know, the Royal Mail, while you were out, and it's a card, and they had a card that looked like that, and it said, while you were out, we dropped this leaflet, and we want to know if you want to sell your house quickly for cash and that kind of thing. That was very good design. But you can go find that online. So number one, you've got to design them. Number two is you need to place an order. You need to order some leaflets, okay? Now, it's not just about ordering leaflets. How many leaflets are you going to get? So you need to know how many. And you also need to know what size. And what I would do is I would order a small number of leaflets. A6, by the way, is easier to drop than A5. You know, A6 is half A4 and half A4 again. So that's A6, right? A5 is half A4. A6 is half A5. Does that make sense? So how many, like, go get 2,000, 3,000. I know you can get much bigger discounts for more leaflets you buy. But in my experience, this is what happens. You get all excited. The designer creates a leaflet. You get 20,000 leaflets. And right there is a really obvious spelling mistake. Even though you've looked at the leaflet a million times to check spelling, there's always a spelling mistake in a really obvious place. I don't know why that happens. It's just one of nature's rules, it seems. How many leaflets and what size? And bear in mind, the smaller the size, the less they are in terms of cost, but also the less of an impact, but also easier for the leaflet dropper to actually drop them. Which leads us on to the third bit, who is going to distribute? So who distributes? Now you've got a choice of three here. So you've got you, let's put that as A. B, you've got a company can drop them. Let me check, you can all see that. And apologies for the handwriting, it is dreadful. You're absolutely right. And C, your own leafletters. So let's put own leafletters. So if you're doing them, it's like, you know, you're going to drop maybe 800, 900, maybe 1,000, depends how big the walkway is up to the house and where all the properties are and the type of properties. But if you're going to do them, you might, let's just say, drop 1,000 a day. Okay, and you know, you might have a full-time job, let's say, so you're going out on a Saturday and a Sunday, you're missing the family, you're missing the kids, you might actually want to miss the family, you might want to miss the kids, I don't know, but you're having to do them, you're going to drop 2,000 on a weekend, and honestly, on 2,000 leaflets, how many calls do you think you're going to generate from that? Not enough is the answer. So that's the problem if you're doing it. It doesn't cost you anything, so it's very cheap, but it does cost you your marriage, which is very expensive. And your relationship with your kids and your own sanity and all that stuff, right? It's quite expensive from that point of view, but it's no upfront cost because it's just you being frozen cold. The next one you could do is a company. So you could outsource this to another company. They're going to charge you, depending where you are in the UK, 50 quid per 1,000. That might be on a Solus, which is just them dropping just your leaflet. It might be £60, might be £70. Or if you're dropping three or four leaflets all at the same time, it might be £30 per 1,000. So it's a little bit more expensive, but it's not as expensive as the divorce if you're spending all your weekends dropping leaflets, which I think is a good thing, not to get divorced. So you could use a company. And then the other one, and we've got this on one of my very first podcasts that we did like 5 years ago, four and a half years ago, which is you could drop your own leaflets. You could hire your own leaflet droppers and they could drop them as well. Now, if you're going to do that, there's a framework around dropping your own leaflets. Let's delve into that one. If you're using a third-party company, there's also a framework there, which is basically consisting of you receiving the leaflets from the printers and dropping them at the company, or you get the printers to send them to the actual leaflet dropping company themselves. But if you're going to use your own leaflet droppers, you need to, you know, you've got your own framework within there. So you need to find them. You need to place an ad. Place advert to find leaflet droppers. You need to qualify them. Are they just the sort of person that's going to throw leaflets in the bin? You need to count the leaflets, which is weird, right? Count leaflets. Because you need to get 1,000 leaflets to stick in a bag. You might also want to be creating a leaflet about dropping leaflets. So they're dropping your We Buy Houses for Cash leaflet and your We Also Drop Leaflets leaflet, so that you can pick up new business from other people who want leaflets and you turn a little business out of it. So you have to count the leaflets. You have to hand leaflets over to the person that's going to drop them.
Number five, you need an invoice from them so you can claim it back off your own tax. And number six, would probably check that leaflets have been dropped. So yes, you're going to save a lot of money if you're just using your own leafletters and you're dropping other people's leaflets at the same time. But you need this framework in place in order to make this happen. And frameworks is the key. This is the whole point. You need frameworks for all of this. Now, for me, like when I had my lettings agency, we also had a leaflet dropping company. And one of our delivery guys, he was the guy that organized all of this. We created a framework for him to follow. Now, today, there's not a hope in hell chance that I could be bothered with all of that. I just couldn't be bothered with it. It's just too much work. There's a lot of manpower counting leaflets, checking people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So for me now, not that we actually drop leaflets anymore because we've got a different way of sourcing deals, but you've got to source deals somehow. So for most people, leaflet drops. But if we were to do it now, we'd probably just pay a company and we'd do like a group drop. Or a solo drop, but probably a group drop. I think our group drop's fine, by the way. If you've got three or four leaflets and yours is there and it's bright orange with in white, sell your house in 30 days with a website address on it and a phone number and call Bob now, like that would work really, really well as far as I can see, as far as I'm concerned. So something like that stands out from all the other leaflets. Do people pick up leaflets and throw them in the bin? The ones inserted into newspaper, I think absolutely. But the ones that land on the floor, three or four leaflets, someone's going to pick it up. You've got to get them in that instant, that very first instant. Less than 2 seconds, you've got to get them. Do you want to sell your house in the next 4 days? Okay, so this is on leaflet. This is the framework. You've got to get someone to design them. You've got to choose how many and what size. And then you've got to work out the distribution. And then the next bit on here is who answers the phone. Who's going to answer that phone? And what a lot of people do is they send them to their mobiles and then the phone rings. Nobody leaves messages, by the way. Well, they'll just leave a message, won't they? No, they won't leave a message. Nobody leaves messages anymore. I don't even have voicemail on my phone. I don't want people leaving a message. I remember working at Dell. You have 28 new voicemails. I'm like, oh my gosh, you literally spend all day listening to your voicemail, writing the phone number down and phoning people back. I just switched mine off in the end. I'm like, it would say, do not leave a voicemail, send me an email. That's it. And if people did, great. And if it didn't, fine. But I actually switched mine off now. But people don't leave voicemails. You need a call center answering system. So you've got you, you've got divert, which, you know, so it goes to you and then it diverts to voicemail, or you've got a call center. And this is the one I prefer. You know, when we ran the lettings business, we had 1,500 calls every single month, and every single call got answered, no matter what time of day it was, they all got answered. And so this is your framework for dropping leaflets, right? Now, if you want to get leaflets, if you want to get ahead, you need to start developing frameworks for various aspects of your business, whatever aspect that might be. When we talk about to clients about from their digital marketing point of view, we're really looking at what the framework is. And when we give them a quote, the quote is based on a framework. This is what we want to happen. These are the steps that we have to implement to make it happen. And this is the cost of making this happen. And everything's done for you. We create the PDFs, we create all that stuff, right? All the websites, all the landing pages, we connect it all together, we test it, we make sure it works. Because a lot of times the people are incapable of creating a framework because they don't know how to do it, or they think they don't need a framework. They go, well, leaflets are obvious. And they're off the go on their own little thing. And 3 months passes. Whereas if you've got this framework, you could have this, okay, design week one. Let's just put one there. So week one. In fact, I don't need to because we can put it here. Week. Easier weeks. So week one, I want to get the leaflet designed. Week two, I'm going to place the order and wait for the order to turn up. I'm also going to decide how many I'm going to get and what size. You should have decided your size before you design them, of course. Number three, week three. Okay, I've got my adverts out on Gumtree and I'm now looking for people to drop leaflets, or you're investigating companies that can drop them for you. And then number four, like week four should really be week three. setting up the phone system, and this right here is 1 month's worth of work. And you should be then dropping 10, 20, 30,000 leaflets by month 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, whatever, right? But you, this only works because you've got a framework and you've associated how much time you've got for each one. Because I can tell you, you know, through coaching clients, I go, okay, have you done your leaflets? And we're like, week 8. And we go, no, I've not designed my leaflet. And I'm just like, dude, we've been doing this for 8 weeks. Well, do I put a girl's name or a boy's name? Do I put my picture on or not my picture? Do I put a mobile number on or not a mobile number? It's like, dude, you should have given yourself a target, make the decision and get the leaflets done rightly or wrongly, but they're done by week 1 and they're designed. That's what you should be doing and focus on that. This is why we don't have large print runs to begin with, because you might want to go back and change that after your first 1 or 2 or 3 or 4,000. You might spot an error. You might go, oh, I want to change it to a girl's name. I want to put my mobile on. I want to put please text, please WhatsApp. Everybody uses WhatsApp these days because it's free, unlike text messaging, for example. So all that should be designed in week 1, and you've got to start giving yourself timescales. So that, okay, week 1, if you get to Friday on week 1, your leaflet's not designed, you've only got one thing to do, let's get the bloody thing designed, so that week 2, you're not falling behind. By the time you get to week 4, you should be out and dropping leaflets. And certainly, well, probably at the end of this, if you use this particular framework, that's what you should be doing. But this is just one framework for one aspect of your business, which is called leaflet drops. What about answering the phone? What's the framework for answering the phone? And it's like, come on, Dan. I don't need to know a framework for answering the phone. And that's why most businesses fail, because they don't think they need this stuff. And they all need it. If you've ever read, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. E-Myth means entrepreneur myth. One of the very first things he asks people to do is work out how are you going to answer the phone and make sure that everybody answers it in exactly the same way. And that's exactly what you should be doing. That's a framework. Everybody answers it in exactly the same way. Everybody closes sales in exactly the same way. Why would you have one guy who's really good at closing sales one particular way and another guy who's dreadful at closing sales because he does it a different particular way? Why not get the way that works and teach it to everybody else? That's a framework. So framework. Like, I've got a framework for spelling. So, for example, when I want to spell, I see the word in my head, and then my eyes go up and my eyes are closed, and I can read. Usually it's on a sign, and I read the sign. That's how I do a lot of my spelling for, like, difficult words, like restaurant or guarantor is always a hard word. I was fine. Anyway, framework for answering the phone. So, number one, what would it be? So, somebody phones. Brilliant. Now you've got to decide, who or where are they phoning? And for me, it's obvious. It should be a call center. So let's go with that, call center. We're open 24/7. If you get 18 phone calls all at the same time, every single phone call will still get answered. That's why you want to use something like that. Number three, what do you want the call center to do once they've answered the phone? Now, this is one of my little bugbears about call centers. Mr. Latto's not available at the moment. And the guy goes, okay, I'll phone back. So what happens is, this goes into a loop. Somebody phones, the call center answers it. I'm not available because I'm never available because it's a call center. I'll call him back. They then phone. I'm never available. I'll call him back. They then phone. And ad infinitum, right? So we don't want that. So you've got to tell your call center, instruct them with what to do. So it could be, if somebody says, Mr. Latto's not in, okay, I'll call him back. Oh, well, there's no point in calling back because we have a call center handling all the calls that Mr. Latto takes, and then we email him with the name and the phone number. You can tell the call center to let the people who are phoning have that piece of information, because now the person phoning goes, oh, I get it. Yeah, my name's Bob and this is my phone number. Great. Then, once you've instructed them what to say, that should be, then you want to instruct them, instruct on what to do. Instruct on what to do. So now they've answered the call, Sally's phoned. What do I want them to do? So actually, I want them to email I always check email. I check email quite often. Or text. That's perfect. So now Sally phones. Yeah, Dan's not in at the moment. Can I get him? Can I get him to call you back? Yeah. Tell him that I'm interested in selling my house quickly for cash in the next 4 weeks. Great. They then take that, they record that piece of information, and they then send it via email and via text message. It comes up on my phone as a notification. I see it. Now, I also might ask them here to ask them some questions. But this is a framework for answering the phone. Now, what do other people do? Well, somebody phones and it goes to my mobile and then I miss it. And then they don't leave a voicemail and I'm left wondering whose that phone number is. Do I phone it back? Do I not phone it back? Oh, I feel a bit shy today. I won't phone it back. You just lost a potential lead. This is a much better framework. But they instruct them on what to say. Yeah, Dan's not available right now. How can I help? Oh, well, actually, I've got a house. I want to sell it. Great. Let's ask you some questions about that property if that's all right. And then I'll get Dan to give you a call back if that's okay. So it would be, what's your postcode? Why are you selling? Like, you might not want to ask that because there's no rapport in a call center and you've got to build rapport. But what's your postcode? How quickly are you looking at selling? Any other information you might want to tell me that will help Dan to understand what the nature of the call is about? And when is best for Dan to give you a call back? At least try and set some expectations, maybe. But that's for you to decide what the call center is going to say and you to decide what the call center is going to ask and also for you to decide what they're then going to do next. So now, hopefully, Sally's phoned them up. I need to sell my house fast. I'm going through a separation. It's in LS1. It's a two-bed flat. It's worth about 80. It's worth about 150. Try and get the numbers at least a little bit right. Worth about 150. The mortgage is 60. Like, imagine getting all that information. And you might not get all that information from the call center because some of that's quite personal information, but you might get some of that information. Then I get an email saying, Dan, Sally, she needs to sell quick. She's going through a separation right now and she wants to move very quickly. She's met a man off the internet and she's off to live in Australia. Brilliant. I get that on my device. Hey, Sally, it's Dan. I called you as fast as I could. I understand you've met a man and you have to meet him in Australia. I have to run away with him. Wonderful. Sounds fabulous. What can we do? Can I book an appointment? Can I come and see you? That right there is a framework for answering the phone. And you should be having frameworks for bloody everything, whatever it happens to be. You should be writing down these because these are essential aspects of your business. The reason why you want to do this is that now, let's say that your business has grown and you're fed up of answering the calls and chasing people up, and you take on Billy, and Billy is going to work for you. Now Billy can slide into this framework, and actually he knows the framework. So let me get this right. Somebody phones a call center. They email my, as in I'm Billy, they email Billy's phone, and then Billy just phones them back. Yeah, great. Like the next bit then, number five, which is a separate framework, is how to handle, you know, the first call, let's say. And let me just make sure you can actually see that. Yeah, you can see that. I know my writing's bad, but that's fine. Now, the first call will have its entire brand new framework, and that's up to you to work out what that's going to do. It teaches you how to do this, by the way, in the property sourcing training course. But you should be developing frameworks on everything. On that first call, you've got to build rapport, for example. You can't just go in and go, okay, Sally, you're getting a divorce. A bit of a twat, was it? Okay, yeah, okay. And you need to go, how much is your house worth? 100. And how much do you think it's worth? 100, okay. And what's your mortgage? 50. Okay, we'll give you 60. You can't do that, right? You've got to work out what is that first call going to be. And a little secret is your first call should be to book the appointment, not to do that much else. You might want to build rapport and you want to generate some questions to get some answers that will help you when you actually go and physically meet Sally and view the house. But that should be a whole new framework. And if you're wondering what you can do, then this is it. All right. I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next video. If you've got any questions, just drop them in the box down below and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.